On the air at News Radio 1070 WKOK and online at WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunrise.
Thank you so much for joining us here on WKOK Sunrise. Now we're going to turn on the microphones for our good guests who are here. Rob Sanders, our fabulous producer, he's taking good care of us, so we always appreciate that. In the studio with us now, Susan Mathias is here, CEO of Transitions of Pennsylvania. How long have you been CEO now? It seems like about 10 years or so.
I guess it's 7 years.
Seven, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, it seems like 10. No, because you've accomplished so much, and so much is under your belt now, and so many good things have happened. And so, wow,
thank
we
you.
Appreciate that. Well, welcome aboard.
Thanks a lot.
And Heather Schneider is back education specialist. We have seen her all over. We've seen her at walks where I was wearing high heels. We've seen her at the front of classrooms. We've seen you talking to Kiwanis and groups and education and
all
classrooms.
Over.
Yeah, all over the place, making sure that the word gets out about transition and, date rape and bullying and a wide range of topics. Thanks for coming back.
Glad to be here.
Give our audience, I always think of transitions as a shelter in Lewisburg, you know, probably a couple $100,000 budget or something, but you've grown and redoubled what you do. Tell us about Transitions now, the scope of Transitions, Susan.
Well, we're a comprehensive victim services agency, and that's a lot of words, but a good way to describe what we do is we provide services for safety, education, and advocacy in our three counties, although now with our housing program, we're in the eastern part of the whole state. So we're expanded our services for housing as well. So we're growing. We have our 24-hour hotline. We operate two safe houses to get people to safety and safety plan with them. And we have a really growing, a wonderful growing, expanding counseling program where we have individual counseling for mainly domestic violence, sexual assault, and human trafficking. And we have we have open offices in Shamokin, Sealands Grove. We have an extra one in Lewisburg. So we have a growing counseling staff who can help, because that seems to be like, if you build it, they will come, because we always have waiting lists for our counseling services. And then we have our education program. Heather and her team are out in 11 school districts. And they are very, very busy. And actually, Heather is all over the state with educating people about human trafficking, doing a fabulous job with that. And then advocacy, our medical advocacy and our legislative and legal advocacy is a really strong part of our program. So that's a summary of what we do. I can hit you with a bunch of numbers, too.
No, but I looked at your annual report. Your numbers are up, and I guess that's a testament to the great job that you're doing. It may be a similar need to decades past, but then you're providing more help for more people. And Heather, we've seen you out. I mentioned date rape, but I know you talk about social media safety, you know, being careful on Facebook and Instagram and all of those. What are some other topics that you're out teaching?
Well, we have a wide variety of programs. Anything that falls under the umbrella of the services that we provide. So elementary programs, we have Safe Touch. We're talking to the kids about what's appropriate, what's inappropriate, how to report especially. We are talking about bullying, sexual harassment. We're talking about healthy choices, healthy relationships, teen dating, internet safety. We tweaked the original internet safety curriculum to include individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. We're doing a lot in colleges and universities, drug-facilitated sexual assault. We're talking about rape culture and how things are perceived as the norm and what we have to do to change those things. So in general, we're sparking a lot of conversations that can make change.
All right, yeah, and always on the cutting edge and always adding to that list. I remember when there was just one anger management discussion and counseling session around here, it was under the underwriting of your group. So, I mean, that just gives you an idea of the scope. Well, we know the Shamokin Safe House is open. We did do a brief news story about that earlier.
Yes.
You're all smiles about that.
Oh, it's wonderful. We're so happy. We were basically, we were shut down for a year while we rebuilt after a pretty terrible fire that happened. It was an electrical fault behind a one unit, one plug, and it burnt the first floor of the house, but smoke damage throughout. So we had to renovate the entire house. It was a huge project, but it looks better than ever, and it's a really warm and welcoming place for people that are escaping the trauma of abuse.
Right, and as the name implies, it was a safe house at the time of the fire, and everybody got out okay, so there were, you know, even though it was occupied at that
absolutely
moment.
Absolutely, it was, yes.
But it's fully alarmed and that sort of thing, so that was helpful there. Who's staying at that when it's occupied?
When people contact us and we safety plan with them and they need a place to be, we provide the house in Shamokin, and we also have a house in Lewisburg where we largely, it's people in Union and Snyder County go into the safe house in Lewisburg. But who's staying there? They're mainly women and children, but we do have men who come in there. It's managed in a way that men can stay there as well when we do have victims of domestic violence who are men, because that does occur. And we're happy that men are coming forward and seeking services. So it's people that contact us.
Okay. Also new, as long as I'm on the topic of what is new, you said you opened some offices in Lewisburg. In the back of my brain, I've always thought of you as a Lewisburg-based organization somewhere, though precisely where to this moment, I do not know. But now you have another location.
Yeah, we're kind of on the down low, as people know. We have three locations in Lewisburg now. We expanded. We have administrative offices on 3rd Street that people can come to. We just don't have a sign out. And we have a safe house with offices as well in Lewisburg. And then in addition, we expanded and renovated. Actually, Kevin Gardner renovated space for us over at the former Sun Orthopedic building. And we have about 16, 17 staff members there. We have our legal office, our attorneys. We have our legal advocates who help with protection from abuse orders. We have a counseling staff and counseling location in there, and housing. So we have a number of staff members that are helping with our direct services, because we've been able to grow pretty rapidly. We've been attracting some amazing young professionals who understand that victim services is a profession. It's pretty exciting.
Well, good for Kevin, too. I see his name associated with quite a few solutions that pop up in our valley, so we're glad for that. We know he was a provider of student housing, and he had to do a lot of advocacy during that happening, and that popped him into the news, but his name is still popping up around here. All right, the list of new things that Farrell, Family Justice Center in Sunbury. Tell us all about that.
Oh, gee. About 7 years ago when I first started, I moved down from the program in Williamsport. The Wise Options is our sister program in Williamsport. And we had two murder-suicides that had happened in the 3 years while I was there. And what happens very often at the time of separation and divorce, which is a very tempestuous time, children get exposed to a lot of trauma. And so we lost people, and so that tempestuous storm can cause that, but the damage that it causes to children is very heavy. So we decided we wanted to open the Custody Exchange and Visitation Center, and found this perfect location in Sunbury, the First Reformed Church at 2nd and Chestnut, and we've been working with them, and so they offered us the parsonage that we rent from them, and we fully renovated it. We're starting off with custody exchange initially, and then we're going to have visitation as soon as we get the visitation rooms completely done. So we're moving toward that. We're going to have a soft opening this week and working with the courts, because most of this will be court ordered, and it is related to domestic violence and other victimizations.
All right, and when someone goes to visit, there are two sides of a family. I should add that you see these families all over the valley, either at a convenience store or the former Ted's Landing site or the Kmart site.
That's,
you know,
right.
3:30 p.m. on Sunday, you see two cars parked, odd facing each other. That's what that's all about.
Yeah.
But this is a safe place.
Exactly. It's set up so that the one parent comes in off of Chestnut Street, sits in the waiting room. As soon as that person has checked in, that we have a locked entry, the other parent brings the child to the back of the house. As you can see, you can't get from the front to the back. And so neither parent sees each other in this exchange. We have monitors in the house, so the child who already knows the monitor and feels very comfortable in the home, we make sure of that, would then be escorted and then meet with the other parent who would leave out the side of the house they came in. And then it goes in reverse when they come back. But the whole point is the parents don't need to see each other at this time, but the children need to see their parents, and the parents want to be with their children. So we serve so many children in our services. Probably it's a one-to-one, it seems. Every victim that comes into our safe house, for instance, is with at least one child, it seems. So we serve an enormous number of children, and whatever we can do to keep children from trauma is what we do.
All right, very briefly, this is a significant unmet need in our valley, this safe location, monitored handoff spot?
I believe very strongly that it is. Every reaction I get is positive about doing this, and people have personal stories about the difficult times they faced at the time of divorce.
And domestic relations would be okay, happy with this kind of thing?
We have the judges were strongly supportive of us doing us, the DAs. In fact, Mike Pietsu was our link to the relationship with First Reformed Church. So the DAs are very supportive of us doing this. I'm feeling a lot of appreciation, so I'm sure hoping it's used.
And potentially life-saving by the stories that we know that mm-hmm. have happened. And we haven't even touched on the trauma that exists for kids when they see these more tumultuous handoffs, so we're going to have to get to that later. Before we close, Heather, I want you to give us a glimpse of what you're going to talk about at 7:40. That's this idea that human trafficking is still prevalent, growing, and a big issue.
Well,
you guys,
I think,
are working on it.
We're going to define it so that everyone understands what it is in our area. We're going to step back a little bit from Hollywood's version and what we've seen on TV. We're going to share some warning signs, some indicators, basically profile an at-risk. We're going to talk a lot about minors who are being trafficked and how they get into that life.
All right, well, that's to be continued. We are talking with some folks from Transitions of Pennsylvania. Transitionsofpa.org is their website, and they have a hotline, 1-800-850-7948. Susan's so kind to put this at the bottom of my list now of possible topics, because I always flounder for it when I go to do it. But transitionsofpa.org, 1-800-850-7948. Heather Schneider and Susan Mathias back, and they'll be back at 7:40 this morning.
This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us here on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Center taking fabulous care of us. We really appreciate that. Thank you, sir. And we are interviewing two individuals here from Transitions of PA. Susan Mathias is the CEO, and Heather Schneider is an education specialist, and she wears a couple of other hats, too, I know, to make sure that Transitions is marching forward in every way possible. First of all, congratulations. You are going to be featured on a TED Talk.
Yes.
You'll talk about human trafficking?
Yes, that is the topic. It is April 4th, and it will be in Williamsport. I know tickets will be going on sale mid-February for the event, so I'm really thrilled and excited to be part of that.
Well, that says something. It's not just a video or sort of an interview opportunity, but it really speaks to the validity of your message.
It's important. My personal feeling through all of this is that I really want people to understand what human trafficking is and how it affects rural Pennsylvania and how it's affecting our rural communities of North Central Pennsylvania, and what we're doing to try to fight this and bring education and awareness to this and prevention.
All right, and if you pay attention to police activities around here, you know what's happening. You know, motels in the broad region can be used. You know, people around here can be arrested. So human trafficking is not New York City sweatshop you know, something like that issue?
Not for here. It can be, and abduction can be part of it, but what we're finding is that family members are trafficking other family members, and they're seeing this as a moneymaker. And, you know, when you talk to some of the individuals that are survivors of trafficking, they'll explain to you how sometimes they were even born into the life. When you look at especially the youth in our communities, sometimes these kids are really from dysfunctional homes. They're runaways. They're, to coin a, or quote a corny country song, they're looking for love in all the wrong places. And a lot of these younger girls, because this is mostly minor girls, now it happens to boys too, and labor trafficking is an issue as well. We don't want to minimize any of that. But these young girls are looking at these older guys as older boyfriends, potential, you know, people that are going to take care of them. Sometimes these victims even will call their trafficker daddy. And they're thinking that they're getting into a better situation than what they're leaving. And they're tricked and they're lied to and they're forced. And it's through force, fraud, and coercion, even though as a minor that doesn't have to be proven in a court of law. But these traffickers know what to tell these kids and how to make them feel like they're coming into a better life, a better situation, and then it just collapses. And then there's drug addiction. Traffickers use all varieties of drugs to control their victims and get them to do what they want them to do, and they tell them this will help you forget the trauma and the situation that you're living through.
And victims and perpetrators, Sunbury, Northumberland, yep. Mifflinburg,
yes.
Lewisburg.
Yes, absolutely. Now, we do have to be careful with some of the things that we talk about because of confidentiality, but we know for a fact that there are traffickers in our area. We know for a fact that there are victims. We have worked with these victims, and they are in this area, and they're in plain sight. They don't have to go missing or vanish to be trafficked.
And so how would I know, what would I look for?
Well, the thing of it is it's not going to just be something that pops out in general population. But if you're a teacher, let's say, or you're someone that works around children a lot, there's definitely a change in their behavior. Like I said, most of these kids are runaway. Many of them are in the foster care family. And when I say that kids in the foster care families are at higher risk, and many of them have run away from those environments and even gone back to the trafficker, but it's because they feel guilty for being recovered and placed in a good home environment. So it's not a slam at social services. What we're trying to say is these kids feel guilty that they've been recovered and their family is still back being trafficked, and worse, being beaten and abused and paying for them escaping.
So we got to get the message out. Keep your eyes open. Stay sharp. Look for this.
Right.
Support
teachers
your local
especially,
police
and I've talked to a lot of teachers that, you know, they'll notice a tattoo or a branding on a younger child, and you think, oh wow, those parents, you know, they got their child a tattoo. And I had one school nurse tell me that, you know, she saw that one of her middle school students had a tattoo, and it said God's little angel. And she thought, okay, well, at least it's religious. But God was the trafficker. This was an individual out of Reading, Pennsylvania, who legally tried to change his name to God and branded all the women in his stable that he was selling.
What should I do?
Well, if you suspect something, trust your instincts. We're all at a point in this time of our lives where we have our gut instincts. We have those feelings that something's not right. And if you suspect something, then absolutely, definitely you can report. And reporting goes to the National Human Trafficking Resource Center, which is 1-888-3737-888, or you call Transitions.
All right, yeah, and the hotline is 1-800-850-7948. We'll give that phone number out again at the end. Well, good luck with the TED Talk in April. We know that that really speaks to the importance of the new information that's out about human trafficking, and hopefully we can all stay sharp and really participate in this. I noticed when I looked at your annual report, Susan, I think that almost every service you have now is trauma-informed, and that also speaks to really the current of what you're doing, because we know this trauma-informed helps are just the cutting edge.
Absolutely.
What is that? Describe that for audience.
Well, people need to understand the effects of trauma on our community. I'm sure you've had people on talking about the ACE study out of California many years ago. They're doing a second validating study. But there are a number of traumas that if you experience as a child, it's going to have long-term life effects on your life health, and you'll end up with chronic illnesses. So,
and you pass it on to your kids, too.
That's right. That's what we're learning with research now. And so, you know, this generational trauma that we're experiencing, I feel like I'm so depressing, but we really need to be able to see things through a trauma lens and understand why people do the things they do sometimes to help us understand what's happening around us. It's important for us to understand trauma and how it affects the brain and how we process things. I mean, we've seen it with childhood sexual assault and with the high occurrence of child sexual assault. 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys before the age of 18 are sexually assaulted in this country, and that affects the full fabric of our society. But the traumas if you experience them, then it's likely to affect your long-term health is divorce, alcoholism, drug use, domestic violence, sexual assault. Are among, and I think, I'm trying to think what the six, there are a couple more, like not slipping my mind, but if you experience these levels of trauma as a child, then if it's doubled up, it becomes exponential. And so it's something that we just all as a society need to really focus on our children and making sure that they have lives that are minimizing trauma.
Well, and now it's a through line through your mission and your services and your counseling and everything you're doing mm-hmm. to make sure that you're addressing the fact that trauma is prevalent and that it has life-lasting and cyclical generational impacts.
But it's wonderful because Transitions is we're a hopeful and positive organization. I would use as an example our theme for our auction on May 28th is plant a seed, because we're seeing that, you know, all of our services lead to getting to sustainable and healthy lives. So we have wonderful counseling services. We have housing assistance that can get people on their feet after they leave our emergency shelter. We get some help for people to get them on their feet. So we have a lot of things that are very positive.
And you have a happy ending story that you'll have at the auction?
Yeah, that's right. Our speaker is a young woman who experienced, she was trafficked by her mother in the Williamsport area, but she's describing, she's now in college in Pittsburgh and is going to come back and speak to us, and she's really hopeful and talks about getting on a positive path.
And so through that help, you helped her. Very briefly, the Say No More conversations happening in Sunbury in a greater way and other places as it relates to various kinds of abuse or trafficking or mm-hmm. sexual assault or anything?
Well, and that's a campaign that has been ongoing for the last several years, and especially during Sexual Assault Awareness Month, which is April. And we're planning some events and trying to organize some activities and bringing that more to the front of conversations overall for No More.
All right, we'll come back at the beginning of April and we'll examine that. And really, honestly, that's shouldn't be left for just another program. It could be the through line through any one of a series of discussions mm-hmm. we have here. So come back again, transitionsofpa.org, the website, which has a safe out. If you're looking at that, they have a click through that you can use that takes you to an another safe site if you're in a situation where you don't want people seeing what you're looking at. You can call them. 1-800-850-7948 is the hotline. That's 1-800-850-7948 is the hotline. You got 30 seconds left for an additional comment. We'll turn to the boss.
Oh, well, thanks so much for having us. I just want to make sure people know that Transitions is here. We've been here for 44 years in this community, and I think we're part of being such a healthy community. So people need to know that 24 hours we're here and we'll find help for you. We don't turn people away.
All right, and you're the CEO of a multi-million dollar budget and dozens of pieces of real estate dedicated to this, and 100 staff and volunteers. Was that a safe guesstimate? Or too many?
That's probably a little high.
Okay.
Because of the levels of training that are required, but we have regular volunteers that are exceed 50. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Susan Mathias, CEO of Transitions of PA, Heather Snyder, an education specialist. Thank you both so much for coming on.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.